We have the Socrates Cafe where we sit down and encourage the kids to think of a tough question and really start to dig into it. It's a great thing to see an 8-year-old just drop wisdom on you about existentialism, even though they have no idea what that word means.
Welcome to the Humanist Hour, the official broadcast of the American Humanist Association. In this episode, the antithesis of Jesus Camp, a safe place to be an atheist, and urine-scented beds. All coming up on this episode of the Humanist Hour. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Humanist Hour. My name is Bo Bennett, and I'm your host for this week's episode. We got a packed schedule today, so we're going to get right into it. We're going to be speaking with two representatives from Camp Quest. And Camp Quest is something the media likes to call Camp for the Faithless or Camp for the Godless. And I think that last one was probably from Fox News or something. But Camp Quest is something I like to call a brilliant idea. So let's get right into our interview for this week. And I have the great pleasure of speaking with Bob Reedy and Sarah Henry. How are you guys?
Good.
Very good, thank you.
Great. And you guys are from Camp Quest. Now, I have a few questions to start out. Tough questions. The first one, is Camp Quest the anti-Jesus camp?
Well, if you're talking about the documentary, and then I'm going to say a qualified yes, because at Camp Quest, we're not about indoctrinating children at all. A lot of people like to pigeonhole us as the atheist camp or assume we preach atheism to our kids, but that's actually not the case at Camp Quest. We are very careful as an organization and at each one of our camps to, instead of pushing particular beliefs on our campers who are minors, we try very hard to encourage them to ask questions and to find their own answers. And so we concentrate on critical thinking and science and a whole lot of outdoor just running around kind of stuff. But I will say it's very different than the camp shown in that documentary, because we actively try not to bring kids into a particular way of thinking, but rather teach them and give them an example of how to think about things and come to their own conclusions.
Hmm. So there's no Jesus dartboards around camp.
No, it's actually kind of a hard balance to strike, because once you've grown up a long time being discriminated against because of your lack of religion, when kids get together, a lot of times they're really prone to start making fun of religion and start sort of mocking other belief systems. So we are trying to work really hard to make sure that these kids have an outlet and have a community that they can come to for support while still being understanding and respectful of other communities.
Oh, so do you guys actually teach the kids respect and how to respect other beliefs there? Is that part of your curriculum?
Oh, we absolutely do. We have a couple programs that are sort of engineered to do exactly that. I think one of the most successful, we do a world religions program at a lot of different campgrounds, in which we sort of teach every day about a new religion, or a new sort of belief system in a very objective way, just so kids get more exposure to beliefs and ideas that they wouldn't have otherwise.
Hmm. You know, if I were in charge of course design, especially for kids around that age, I would think that a world religions course would be one of the best courses that they could take.
Yeah, and another thing to remember about Camp Quest is that we currently have 15 different locations, and we try, you know, from my perspective at the national level, we want certain standards and themes to be there, but we try very hard to let each camp do their own thing, because we have some very passionate volunteers who have their own interests and their own take on things, and we like to see that at our different camps. So some camps in the past have experimented with different things that they do, exposing kids to actual area religious leaders from certain groups, bringing them in and trying to directly teach kids about camp. That's had mixed success in that, because it's really interesting when the kids are going along with a faith group that seems fairly liberal as far as religious groups go, and then they tell a group of kids that they don't support same-sex marriage and watching a room of children just turn on a group of people. And it's as an adult, it's kind of interesting to see that, but it's not the environment we want at camp. So those have been mixed, but our camps try different things, and they have they have mixed success in an effort to just teach the kids about these things.
Right. Yeah, I would assume in this kind of environment, some atheist parents might not be too happy about the idea of introducing other religions. Do you find that at all?
We've had some issues with some parents who have come to us with the concern that we are not explicitly anti-religious enough.
Mm, yeah.
Some people do want their kids to go to a camp where they are going to learn, learn argumentative tactics and things like that. And that's really not something we concentrate on. We do have philosophical discussions. Socrates Cafe is an activity that we like to consider a core Camp Quest activity that just about all of our camps do. And it's about getting kids to ask those questions and ask hard questions of each other, but in a respectful way that's going to promote conversation rather than simply trying to win an argument or shut somebody down.
Hmm. So about how much of the camp is actually devoted to humanistic issues as opposed to regular camper stuff like petting the alligators and playing catch the bees?
At the locations I've been to, it's more of not necessarily teaching humanist values, but teaching the skills of critical thinking, because we want to provide these kids with a community and with a support system that's there the entire year. So a lot of the day is dedicated to forming friendships and team relationships and bonding with the community as a whole, and not necessarily, bonding and respect and being able to make friends clearly are really important values that we want to be teaching our children. But that's why camp exists, not necessarily to teach these kids this is why religion is bad.
Right.
And it's funny what you get at different camps. We've got some camps. Camp Quest Ohio is coming up on their 20th year, whereas Camp Quest New England that Sarah and I just came from, it was their first year operating a full week program. And depending on the age of the program and the tenure of the people running the program that year, it's interesting to see how much they focus on the humanist values. At one camp I was at, every single activity through the entire week had attached to it in the curriculum the particular humanist value that it embodied. It wasn't an act of teaching the kids that, but it might be mentioned to the kids. But it's more of a, if we're a camp that is going to support humanist values, all the things that we're doing through the day, how do they tie in with humanism, and what values of humanism are we expressing or demonstrating by doing this activity at camp this year?
Gotcha. All right, so I have two children. One is 13 and one is 15. So as a humanistic father with raising two humanistic children, how would you sell Camp Quest to me? If I were sitting in front of you guys and saying, well, tell me about Camp Quest, why should I send my children there?
So I've actually been going to Camp Quest since I was 10 years old. I started as a camper, and I can honestly say that camp has changed my life, which is what I tell parents, and we have friends here that I've gotten their children to go, because when I was a kid in Southern Indiana, where everybody is incredibly religious and you find your friends based on the church you go to, it was so hard for me growing up because I knew I didn't believe in a God, and I knew that there had to be other people that thought that, but there was no way to find them. And so for me, going to camp was the only place that not only were people nice to me, they also understood what I had been through and had gone through the same issues and understood where I was coming from and didn't hate me because of it. It was the first place I ever really experienced that. And I'm still friends with my fellow campers from my first year.
Yeah. Different kids come to camp for different reasons. We find some campers come from small towns where they're the only kid in their school who's from a family that doesn't go to the same church as everyone else in town. Or the only kid in school who doesn't go to church every Sunday. Others come for the science and education part of it. We get parents commenting that They like the extra science education that is done at camp to supplement the education they get in school, get them thinking about the larger things rather than in some areas the more, you know, teach to the test kind of criticism of that kind of stuff. It's been a comment. But what I would say to any given parent and potential camper is that Camp Quest is an adventure. It's a place to go where you get to be with this whole new group of people, where everyone is welcome, where there's no such thing as embarrassment, and you just get to go be yourself and have people support you for who and what you are, regardless of whatever those labels society puts on you. We don't care at Camp Quest. We don't have labels for children at Camp Quest. We have a week with a group of new friends where you get to try new things, stretch yourself, and have a great summer adventure.
Now, you guys got to help me out a little bit here. I was never much of a camper. In fact, the closest I ever came to camping was pitching a tent at about 8 o'clock in our yard and then going back in the house at 10 because of all the bugs. So I'm wondering, is camp generally very religious? Is there a need, in other words, for Camp Quest?
Yeah, when we rolled up to the Camp Quest New England campus, there were signs everywhere advertising a Bible camp that, you know, pointing the way to their check-in. There are a lot of church camps, a lot of Bible camps around, but even some of the major, the larger camp organizations, some of them have either implicit or explicit religious ties. Like, clearly everyone is familiar with the Boy Scouts, and that is definitely not a friendly environment. In fact, one of our national volunteers at Camp Quest West was an Eagle Scout and an employee of the Boy Scouts who was kicked out of that organization because the leadership found out he was an atheist, which is definitely our gain. He's a fantastic resource for our organization with all his camp experience, but he was just booted out, and he's an adult. But that same prejudice applies to the children at those camps as well. Even though the Boy Scouts have recently said they will accept gay children, they will still explicitly exclude atheist or non-religious children. So then there's other organizations like the YMCA that are, you know, to many observers look like a fairly secular camp, but they will pray before every meal or have other things that that's not necessarily explicitly religious, but is very similar to the same kind of assumptions of belief that a lot of people see in everyday society, that to a believer doesn't really stand out, but to a non-believer just serves as another reminder of how you don't fit in.
All right, when we come back, we're going to find out what all these kids do with all their free time when they're not praying, when they're not worshiping a god, or just thinking about how terribly sinful they are. Coming up on the Humanist Hour. You're listening to the Humanist Hour. My name is Bo Bennett, and we're speaking with Bob Reedy and Sarah Henry from Camp Quest. So what do all these kids do with all this extra time when they're not praying?
Run around outside, go swimming. We did some science activities. Sarah led them in making a fantastic array of very messy, very ridiculous items, like what is that? Oobleck was one of them. What is that? What was that stuff?
Oh, it's so gross. It's like slime or gack, and kids make it in science classes in high school. It's so nasty, but it's like a really messy, really fun experiment. So you get to talk about chemistry and stuff, and also the kids get to get really dirty, and they love it. But we try to do like a solid mixture of super fun, just like playing around outside, running around, tagging each other activities, and things that aren't necessarily atheist-based, but science-based, so making oobleck, making gack. We did a really good paleontology experiment this year at at New England. And we do some cool, at Chesapeake, Camp Quest Chesapeake, we have a great river that we use to do a lot of pond water microscope tests and lab tests that the kids really love.
And then there's, of course, Sarah's absolute favorite part of camp, I think, which is camp songs.
I love camp songs.
Nice. Do you want to sing one of your favorites here?
Oh, gosh. I don't think so. I'm really good at leading camp songs in front of children who have no ability to judge my singing ability.
But all of my camp songs have dance moves associated with them, so we just could not do them justice. But I will say it is my absolute dream to go to a major American Humanist Association, American Atheist convention, one of the big ones, and all I want is like 10 minutes in the middle of the afternoon, like have lunch, have a session, and then right when everybody's getting sleepy, get Camp Quest up on stage. We'll leave everybody in a big, silly camp song, and then get out of there and get out of the way. But just get everybody up and moving, and it's absolute silliness, and I hope to be able to share that stuff going forward with a much wider audience.
Huh. You know, I think that would go over really well at one of the humanist conventions, the international ones. So can you tell me a little bit more about the staff at Camp Quest? Are they all volunteer, some volunteer, mostly volunteer? What is it?
Well, first of all, they're the best people in the whole world. And most of our people are volunteers. All of the locations, all of the camp counselors are volunteers. All of the directors and assistant directors and everybody who plans the programs all year are volunteers.
We do have two paid staff members who work at our central office in Columbus, Ohio, and they work on camp all year long, every day, all day long. And then we have this huge network of board members, programming staff, this army of volunteers that puts in all the work that makes a camp possible. It's a tremendous amount of work, every single one is a volunteer. The vast majority put in all this time year round, from all walks of life. We get teachers, we get IT folks, firemen, just anything you think of. We've got those people around the country doing something at camp, and just letting out their inner child and spending a week making a great time for a bunch of kids. Hmm.
I'd really like to hear about some of your favorite moments from camp. Bob, you would have an interesting perspective from a counselor, and Sarah would certainly have an interesting perspective from a camper.
Yeah, I've been a counselor every summer since 2008. Most of those were with Camp Quest Minnesota, and this year with Camp Quest New England. And I am the chair of the national board now, so I get two sides of that, but I still like going to camp every year. My favorite moment is it's the moment that – it was a moment where I said to myself, I'm doing this forever. And it was after my first camp session back in 2008 – we'd finished up the camp week. We had about 30 campers that year, and the camp staff was having a debrief at our at the house of the board president for Camp Quest Minnesota. We were all going through the evaluations we'd given the campers. So we gave them, you know, just have them rate the activities, tell us what they liked, what they didn't. And on the evaluations was a question that asked, what was the most important thing you learned at camp this year? And we're going around reading these responses to each other and seeing all this. And we got to that question, and one of our CITs had a sheet of paper that to the answer to what was the most important thing you learned at camp this year was that I'm not alone, that there are other people out there who think like I do. And in that moment, I just realized that was written by a child. And to give that sense of community to a young person who'd never had that before and who this clearly made a big difference to, in that moment, I knew I would be involved in Camp Quest until I literally can't anymore.
Well, that is a great story. You know, I was thinking about this, and children generally don't have access to the internet, at least the kind of access and the kind of research experience that most adults do. So they really can't find these kind of non-believer communities. So that's why I think Camp Quest is just such a great resource.
Yeah, it's the most important part of camp is the community that we build at camp, between camps. You know, we see campers who, like Sarah, grow up, come to camp every summer and then become volunteers. And in the age of Facebook, when the kids get old enough to that their parents let them get a Facebook account and or other social media, they always add counselors, and you have to be very careful what mm-hmm. you let them see. But you get to see them start to support each other, where they have their friends at camp who live hundreds of miles away from each other, and you just see them supporting each other, and you know that that support network exists not only in that week at camp, but after they all go home, they've got somebody else who understands what they're going through and gives them that support they need. And it's fantastic to see. And it's one of the greatest parts about Camp Quest is this larger Camp Quest community that is just growing and growing. You know, this year for the first time, we had over 1,000 campers, I think. We don't have final numbers. We're right around 1,000. We hope we broke 1,000 for this year, but that's a lot of kids across this country. And we want to grow it to even more.
Wow, I didn't even know there were 1,000 atheists in the country. So, Sarah, how about some of your favorite moments as a camper?
So, while Bob was talking, I was making a list, trying to narrow them down. And it's so hard because camp has been such a part of my life for so long. But is it okay if I have more than one?
Of course it is. Of course it is. Take your time and tell the good stories.
So, when I was a camper, when I got home from my first like couple summers of camp, I ended up being an exchange student in Germany one summer, and I realized that I wasn't going to be able to go to Camp Quest for the first time in like 5 or 6 years, and I was devastated, absolutely devastated, and it was probably one of the toughest years for school from my point, because I had just started a Secular Student Alliance and I was getting a lot of hate from a lot of my classmates, and a lot of my administration was actively working against me, and I had never really experienced the kind of discrimination that was going on. And I called one of my best friends from camp, absolutely hysterically crying at like 2 in the morning. And she just like sat me down and we conference called in everybody from our cabin from the last like 3 years. And just sat and cried for a solid hour and talked about how much we loved each other and how much we needed each other. And even though it wasn't at camp, probably one of my absolute best camp memories, because it's just so representative of the support system and the group and the community that I and other people have found throughout Camp Quest. My other two moments are from this year, actually. I volunteer at 3 locations, so I'm a counselor at Ohio and New England, and the assistant director at Chesapeake. And at Ohio this year, we had our first transgender CIT, and he was in the smallest boy's cabin, and one of the little boys could not get there. He was like, "I just don't understand. She's obviously a girl. This doesn't make any sense to me." And we sat down with them, and we were like, "Hey, you know how you were born with a boy's brain and a boy's body?" And he was like, "Yeah, that makes sense." And we're like, "Okay, well, he was born with a boy's brain but a girl's body." And it was just like a light bulb went off in his head. Like, brains are different than bodies. And it was crazy. He'd like grasped onto this idea and went around telling everybody for the rest of the day all these new things he had learned about brains. And it was absolutely beautiful to me, because camp is so accepting, and that's how camp should be. And he was able to grasp that idea at the level of an 8-year-old, and it was just so beautiful. I know that's a weird way to describe that, but
you didn't tell him that the counselor was going to hell. That's a good thing.
Exactly. We just said, "This is a person, and this is how he is," and he got there, and it was so, so nice. And then my final moment is from Chesapeake this year. Every week at camp, the last night all the campers are there, we do what's called a final campfire, where we all just sit around and do silly songs and tell campfire stories, and the campers get to perform a little bit for the whole camp. And we ran a program at our campfire this year where we just asked the campers and counselors to start seated and to rise when they heard a sentence that applied to them. And one of our public speaking counselors sort of just stood up and said, "You know, stand up if you've ever felt alone, if you've ever felt bullied, if you've ever felt sad, if you've ever felt objectified or ostracized." And kept going for like a solid 10 minutes. And we had about 100 people at Camp Quest Chesapeake this year. And by the end, to see everybody standing up and to see the support and the love that everybody had for each other, and that we did go through this together and we're not alone in the discrimination and in the sort of just sense of aloneness that you felt throughout your life, purely because you're not part of the majority belief system, was fantastic because it provided that support, and also heartbreaking because there are 8 and 9 and 10-year-olds standing up saying, I don't have any friends and I've never felt like I fit in my school or with my family. And that shouldn't happen ever, which is why I'm so involved and so active in Camp Quest, because I just don't think that 8-year-olds should ever have to feel like somebody is going to hate them for the rest of their lives because they think differently.
Yeah. They'll have their whole life to feel that way.
Yeah.
One of Sarah's stories reminds me of something that I heard just the other night from some volunteers across the country. Camp Quest is explicit, and we are very explicit about being open to everyone and supporting all of our campers, not just those who are struggling because of religious discrimination. Mm-hmm. We had a camper, and this was so touching to me. We had a camper who went to one of our camps, had been attending Camp Quest, and had been attending multiple years as a girl, and has been, I guess, struggling at home and trying to figure out what gender they really felt like, and reached out to our their parents, reached out to the staff at the camp and said, would it be all right if this child came to camp as a boy this year? And the camp leaders said, absolutely, come to camp, be a boy. And that camper went, and the other campers were totally accepting of it. It wasn't an issue. It was an environment of support for someone who was just trying to figure out what they felt like and how they fit into this world. And Camp Quest was able to be a place to try that out in a safe place. And that's a piece of Camp Quest that I'm really proud of. That, you know, beyond, we are a secular camp, but to a lot of us, being secular and open-minded and humanist has implications about these other social stigmas that exist in society and how we should treat those people affected by those stigmas. And the transgendered community is one that's facing a lot right now, and is really trying to come into its own and get acceptance. And it is absolutely great to me that at Camp Quest, we can be that piece of support that some of these kids need in a time when they're just trying to figure out who they are.
All right, so we heard about your moments. What kind of things do you hear about Camp Quest from the families of the campers or the parents that have been to camp?
We got a great email at Ohio this year about a little girl named... I probably can't say that. Okay, a little girl who...
Let's call her Sally.
Okay. Who had always been, this was her first year at camp. She was very homesick the first two or three nights, really, stayed up all night crying, would not listen to anything a counselor said, just could not stop crying. And ended up, she got over the homesickness, but ended up really being pretty reserved throughout the week. And the last couple of days sort of made some friends and reached out to some people and really started just playing like a kid should play. And we sent her home, and her mom emailed us the next day saying, this girl has never been hoarse from anything in her life. She's never been sadder to leave a place, and she's never been more ready to go back. And it was just the most touching thing, because obviously this was a camper who had struggled a lot throughout the week. And really we talked about it a lot. We were really nervous about her, and ended up having the time of her life, could not wait to come back next year, has already started planning and emailing us and asking when she can sign up for next year. And stuff like that is what really gets me.
There was a year at Camp Quest Minnesota, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 years in, it all blurs together. But at one of the check-in days, a single mother brought her son to camp and dropped him off. And I had been running around and everything and wasn't present. And I kind of walked around the corner and the camper had run off to start playing with the kids and making name tags and all that stuff. And the mother was right there and caught me up in this huge bear hug. And it came out of nowhere. It totally surprised me. And I was kind of taken aback. And she just said, "Thank you so much." And I said, "Yeah, I didn't know what to say." And she said, "My son has been a different person since he started coming to camp. I don't know what you guys do, but he came home from camp a different person where he couldn't make friends and he struggled and he was nervous. And then he came to camp, he stayed here for a week, and he came home, and he had this confidence in who he was and what he was doing. And he's made friends this year, and things have gotten so much better, so thank you." And that's the kind of thing you hear from a parent about their kid that just, it just reinforces how great the camp experience is and the great things that we do. And there was another one that just happened this year where it was relayed to us that a parent had multiple kids, and the youngest was 8 or 9 and went to camp for the first time and came home from camp and said, "Mom, I'm going to call you Mom now, not Mommy, and I'm not going to wet the bed anymore." And that was it. And went, and, you know, it's been a few weeks, so you don't know how that was, but, you know, the kids have a transformative experience. Summer camp is a special place where you can stretch. It's safer to put yourself out there because you're only going to be there for a week and then you go home. It's easier to do that, I think, than when you're at your school with the kids you've got to spend the next 12 years with it sometimes.
You're listening to The Humanist Hour. My name is Bo Bennett, and we're speaking with Bob Reedy and Sarah Henry from Camp Quest.
And the best part, one of the best parts, Bob was talking about how camp gives kids an opportunity to stretch and explore who they are a little bit better. And it's the perfect environment to do that because we don't let kids get embarrassed at camp. That's sort of one of the things Bob and I know have embraced. It does not matter what you're doing. You can't be embarrassed because they're kids and, you know, you're singing a stupid camp song in front of them and it's just impossible, you know? And if you refuse to let yourself get embarrassed and these kids see that, then they understand that you can't get embarrassed at camp. And that opens up the opportunity for fashion shows at the talent show and kids who don't really, you know, have a talent to develop one over the week and then show it off at the end of the week. And we don't let them get embarrassed. So it's a great way to sort of learn new things about yourself.
Boy, you guys are really selling me on this camp. I want to go now. Am I too old?
Please.
You can.
Come to camp.
Every camp is run by volunteers. We just need people to come and get involved in running programs and, you know, running those activities that kids are going to do, spending the week with the campers as a cabin counselor, you know, getting them from place to place, spending all that time with the kids, being with them in the cabins overnight.
Yeah, but Bob, you're talking about me working. I don't want to work. I want to do the fashion show when I want to.
You absolutely can. We all do it. And I will tell you, it will be the most exhausting week of your life. Camp destroys you mentally and physically your first time there. Like, it is,
and second and third and fourth.
Yeah, it's true. At least that after the first year you're at least used to it, but it is draining. But you end the week and you are just, your tanks are empty and you're ready to drop. You go home and you get one good night's sleep. At least that's all it ever takes for me. One good night's sleep, and then it's energy for months. I'm just reminded why I do this and so excited to start planning for the next year immediately after 1 year ends. And so it's a challenge every year, and it is an exhausting experience every year, but it is the best, most fulfilling exhausted you will ever be.
Mm. You know, some people would describe what you're describing as a spiritual experience.
I don't doubt it's very similar to the feelings that other people think. Yeah. You know, I personally have never doubted that people in religions really feel the things that they're feeling. They just assume they come from somewhere different than we do.
Sure.
So you can have these. I mean, camp has been personally transformative for me. My first year that I went, I decided before I showed up that I was going to be the goofy counselor out in front of everything. And if, as Sarah mentioned, if I am animated and crazy and goofy enough, there is no way the kids can be embarrassed. And then I'm going to get them to participate and do things they sneer at first or ordinarily wouldn't do. And I have found that in the last 7 years, I have become more of that person that I wanted to be in my real life because of camp's influence on me. And it is absolutely a positive change.
Mm. One of the key characteristics of a spiritual experience or spirituality is connecting with something larger than oneself. And of course, many believers will think that something larger is another being, which they call God. But it doesn't have to be a being, of course. Something larger than yourself is humanity, is people in general, is the larger population. For you guys, it really seems like what you're connecting to is these children, and not just one child or two child, but a whole group of children, which really gives you this fantastic experience about connecting with something larger than yourself. Now, I'm curious, is it just you guys that are really pumped up about this? That's why you're doing this show? Or do other counselors feel the same way too?
Well, they keep coming back.
That's a sign.
Our counselors have as much of a return rate, if not higher, than our campers. And it's for the same reasons, really. The community and being able to work for something and provide for kids that maybe don't have those resources at home. And, you know, getting those resources for yourself. It's all really a huge part of what keeps our counselors coming back.
That sounds good. So do you guys have any kids that come to camp with religious parents who have religious parents?
Yes. We really? Definitely do. We have a fair number of children across the country that come from religiously split families, whether there's a divorce involved or not.
Okay.
One parent will be secular or atheist, and the other parent will still be in a religious tradition of some kind. And, you know, the secular parent wants to send the kids to Camp Quest. And, you know, and so those kids do have religion at home. And even at a camp I've been at, we've had explicitly Christian children come to camp. Their cousins had started coming, and it's kind of thing where, you know, one brother left the religion of the family. His kids came to Camp Quest, loved it, wouldn't stop talking about it, and so another sibling decided to send their kids to camp, and they were still Christian. And I didn't know about this till they'd been coming to camp for 2 years. And so I went and I asked the parents. I said, you know, I just found out you're a Christian, and I don't want to make a big deal about that, except I want to know if we're making your kids feel uncomfortable at all. Are they, you know, are we making them feel like they don't belong? Are we feeling, are we making them feel like, are we making them feel the ostracism that that most of our kids feel at home? The parents said, absolutely not. They keep bringing them back because the kids love camp and they felt like they belonged. And that was really important to me that, you know, those kids, they came without us knowing, but we still made those children feel like they were welcome and that they belonged at Camp Quest. And it's one of the reasons I say everyone belongs at Camp Quest, every single child.
That's very interesting. You know, if you think about the children in this demographic, in this age group, most of them, I would say this is a fair assumption, and you could tell me if you agree or not, most of them have not given any serious philosophical thought to the existence of a deity or the truth claims of Christianity and so forth, especially on the younger end. So I would think that the majority of atheistic or humanistic children who come to camp because their parents are atheistic or humanistic, and they're just kind of carrying on the beliefs. So do you guys, well, first of all, before I go into my second part of the question, is that an accurate statement?
We don't have atheist or humanist children. They're children. Mm-hmm. We're very explicit about that. Clearly, they come from families who have this belief. And some of our campers, especially as they do get older, make these decisions. Most of our camps go from age range of 8 up to 17. Typically, the 16 and 17-year-olds being counselors in training, where they get some more responsibilities and privileges and things. But so some of those kids have definitely gone through that process where they've made an informed decision. But at the same time, you can hear an 8 or 9-year-old just lay down some brilliant arguments against religious belief. But in the back of your mind, you're like, nah, I'm not sure you're quite old enough. You just might be really good at imitating some arguments you've heard elsewhere.
Yeah.
So we do run the gamut on that. And it's so our kids tend to be very well informed about religion as compared to most other kids that I've met, because they come from the kind of families who, as typically explicitly humanists, tend to value that kind of thing and value knowledge and objective understanding of what other people think, even if they reject the truth claims of those other belief systems.
Sure.
So some kids are totally naive about religion. Some kids come in being able to go toe-to-toe with a counselor on religious knowledge about different faiths and things. So it's a pretty wide range. But the nice thing is that it's not a problem because we're not directly addressing those issues at camp most of the time. We are teaching objectively about religion. We are teaching critical thinking and introspection, but we're not analyzing religious claims and why they're false or anything like that. So. So it's not an issue that these kids come from widely different backgrounds in terms of their religious understanding and decisions.
Gotcha. Okay. So I think you partially answered my second part of the question, which was, do you help the kids explore the different options out there by kind of using a Socratic method? I do that all the time with my children. I find it very effective, especially when they kind of, what you said before, kind of parroting some of my arguments like against the existence of God. I kind of play the devil's advocate and say, well, you know, tell me about that. But what if this or what if that? And then it gets them to think and really come up with a solution on their own. And I think that is incredibly helpful when it comes to making up your own mind and figuring out what you believe or what you don't believe.
Yeah, we definitely try to help them sort of explore and learn more. We have a lot of times the younger campers especially are just really curious because they don't know a lot necessarily about the specifics of other religious beliefs, just sort of that, you know, my parents think this is wrong, I don't really understand it. But we've had campers come to us and explicitly say, hey, can you tell me some Bible stories? Because I've heard these things and I don't know what to think about them. So can you tell me what you know? And I always try really hard to be honest in a sort of like, this is what I believe, but that doesn't mean it's right sort of way.
Right.
So like this year we had campers at New England who, an 11-year-old girl who wanted to know all the stories about women in the Bible because she had heard somewhere that Christians didn't like women. And so I was, you know, you try to be really upfront with her, like, yes, these are the stories from the Bible. You know, why do you think that you've heard that? Why do you think that Christians don't like women? What are some stories that say that Christians do like women? And sort of make sure that they are understanding all the options, because it is hard coming from such if you're coming from such a non-religious family to sort of get that objective learning.
Hmm. And actually, if Christians didn't like women, after a few generations, there wouldn't be any Christians
left.
They'd
just die out.
So that's not true.
I can't say that I have experienced anything where any exploration like that has been explicitly planned. That's the kind of thing that more arises organically.
Yeah,
In conversations, the kids will get in conversations in the cabins and, you know, get to a sticking point and come to a counselor with a question about it. Or we have the Socrates Cafe activity, which is typically multiple times in the week where we sit down and encourage the kids to think of a tough question and really start to dig into it. And sometimes those things get into, it's a great thing to see an 8-year-old just drop wisdom on you about existentialism, even though they have no idea what that word means.
Yeah.
You really see the wisdom of children sometimes when you really get them to dig in. But a lot of that stuff comes up organically. And I think a lot of that, the reason for that is that we are very careful, and some people probably say too careful, about not indoctrinating children. We're there to encourage them to grow and explore, not to teach them a specific worldview beyond simply living it out and giving them examples of positive humanist role models in camp, and occasionally teaching them about what humanism is and what it stands for, which tends to be an every few years kind of thing at the camp, so the kids don't sit through it every single year.
Sure.
It's not just a exploration of other religions either. A lot of times in Socrates Cafe, the things that come up, and the things that come up when kids are having conversations organically that they want to talk about, that they're curious about, are not necessarily religious. And we're always trying to encourage that. Especially, I know at Chesapeake this year, our older male campers got together one night and they were having a campfire back at their cabin area and started talking about body image and vanity in the media and like how you portray yourself, and you know, got really upset and got really serious and called on their counselors to sort of give them some guidance and talk about it and explore, you know, why men are expected to be one way. And it was really, really fascinating to hear about from the male counselors the next day, because I mean, there's these ideas that we don't think about, you know, 15, 16-year-old boys stressing out about how they look. But when kids are just given the forum and given the space to talk about anything they want organically with people that understand them, they're going to come up with these really tough conversations, and they're not necessarily religiously based.
Well, guys, this has been really interesting. Before we finish up here, what can our listeners do to help Camp Quest? The very important question.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there are three things that Camp Quest needs. One is campers, two is volunteers, and three is donations. Every single camp, all 15, running 17 sessions, serving over 1,000 campers, hopefully, this year we crossed it. Every one of those campers pays less than the cost of bringing them to camp as their camper fee. We try very hard to keep this affordable for parents and run this, and we are absolutely dependent on donations. The Stiefel Freethought Foundation has a $5,000 bonus for Camp Quest once we get to 100 monthly donors donating at least $5 a month to Camp Quest. We are at 98, and when we hit 100, we get an extra $5,000. From the Stiefel Freethought Foundation, and all those little donations add up and help us just bring more camp to more kids.
Well, that sounds great, and I have a strong feeling, Bob, that between all of our listeners, among all of our listeners, you will get those extra two donations, and then some. Where would they go to donate exactly?
Just head to campquest.org. We have links on the front page to donate in one-time amounts or to sign up for a monthly donation. Camp Quest is also a 501c3 charity registered with the IRS. So if your employer does any kind of matching to charities, I know mine does, you know, you can donate that way, have it pulled right at your paycheck, and then some employers will match a certain percentage of that, which multiplies your donation. And there's all kinds of other information on the Camp Quest website as well, including all of our camp locations, when they operate, although unfortunately they're all done for this year, but probably around January or so they'll start popping up with the we'll probably have all of the times and locations for next year up and where you can go to register and everything. So that's really the center of everything is campquest.org. You can reach out through there, talk to our national staff, get in contact with our board of directors, with the local camps in your area or across the country, depending where you want to go to have a wonderful summer adventure.
All right. Bob, Sarah, it's been great. Thank you so much for joining us on the Humanist Hour. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
All right.
Fantastic.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Bob Reedy and Sarah Henry from Camp Quest. And I thought I'd ask my daughter about Camp Quest to see if she would be interested in it. Annabelle, what do you think? What do you think about Camp Quest?
I would love to go to Camp Quest. It sounds like a great time. I can think of nothing more that I would like to do next summer. It sounds like a great opportunity to meet other kids my age that do not believe in any gods. I cannot wait until next summer.
Spoken from the heart. Annabelle, thank you so much for your testimony. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, folks, that'll do it for this week in the Humanist Hour. If you do have any feedback, we would love to hear from you. You can send an email to humanisthour@americanhumanist.org, or you can call and leave a message on our feedback line. The number is 202-618-1371. That'll do it, folks. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate it. We'll see you next week on the Humanist Hour. Bye-bye.